I want to talk about anxiety, the flight for freedom, and the return to authoritarianism. Anxiety, the flight from freedom, and the return to authoritarianism. Our Torah is considered a book for all time, and that means the messages of the past still speak to us today. And we heard effectively from Maya and for those following along in the book about the central sin of the Jewish people in the creation of an Egel HaZahav, of a golden calf. And to understand the psychology and the sociology behind that will teach us something not about idolatry alone, but more particular about the anxiety that life causes us and the freedom causes us and how we so often want to run away from it. We have to remember that our Jewish people were barely freed when this episode occurred, and that even though they had had an experience of God and they march out of bondage into slavery, slavery was still deeply within them. And what they yearned for in the chaos, in the responsibility of being free, was a strong leader who would fulfill for them what they were unable to do for themselves. And so when Moses goes up the mountain, they have it timed out that he's supposed to return after 40 days at the sixth hour. And yet the second verse in 32:2 says that that Moses boshesh, that he dallied, that he was delayed. And in that delay, the tradition tells us the people experienced tremendous anxiety and fear. How is a barely free people supposed to live their lives without a leader that they trust? And in that existential terror, and in their need to place their anxiety someplace certain, they build for themselves this Egel HaZahav, this golden calf, and they proceed to worship it. And part of the way that we can sense how fearful they were is contained in an instruction as to where the gold came from by which they made this idol. Because we hear that they tell the Vayifrok, they have to break out the gold from the ears of their children, of their sons and daughters and women, break it out and give it to Aaron to make this calf. It's violent language, and one of our classic Midrashim compares it with a generosity of heart that our ancestors had when building the sanctuary. But there's nothing generous in this act. It is brittle. It is breaking it apart. And when we look at the way the Torah and our ancestors understood the body, we encounter really three main places where the ear is a central component of our national story. At the highest level, the priests, when they are inducted, take their ear and smear some blood upon it. And so at the best, the ear is the place where we dedicate ourselves to God, to liberty, to the fact that we are all ultimately free before our Creator. And the other place where the ear comes and it changes the relationship is in the story of an Eved Olam. An Eved Olam is a permanent slave. And while the Bible offers us a period of indenture, it always offers freedom after this 7-year period, except for the person who is so frightened by their freedom that they turn to their master and say, "Pierce my ear with an awl against a door, that I can be a permanent slave before you." So these are not accidents when the Torah repeats these themes. They tell us how the ear was viewed in the ancient world and by our people. And they explain that the ear is so connected to Kedusha, to holiness on the one hand, or a flight from freedom on the other. And so the anxiety of our people manifests by giving up their freedom just at the very moment that we had achieved it. Ramban Nachmanides, looking at this example, says something very interesting. He says it wasn't idolatry that they were doing by making this calf. These were the people who had just experienced God at Har Sinai, at Mount Sinai. They had heard the thundering and the lights of God. They had heard that one voice. They had received, or were about to receive, Torah. What Ramban says is that rather than idolatry, what they wanted to create for themselves was another Moses, a leader who could replace their leader who was gone for just a few hours more, and that was their preeminent demise. We need our leaders, but more, we need the tremendous responsibility that each of us have as human beings before God. That, throughout, is the central message of Torah. It is a statement of human dignity, that all of us are of ultimate value and worth before God. And to give that up is indeed a great sin. We see around the world, those of you watching what happened in China, understand that there is a movement away from freedom, a movement away from the divine principle placed in each of us. We have to learn from our ancestors and maintain our duty of resisting oppression and being an emblem of freedom in all times and all places. That's how we redeem the error of our ancestors. That's how we turn from the golden calf to the one true voice beckoning us to ever greater freedom. Shabbat Shalom.